Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Dianoga Davis.
Why are we floating in space like this?
All right, and today we are heading into space and into the depths to continue our episode-by-episode journey through Rescue Bots Academy. Starting off with episode number 47, Flying Hunk of Junk. This first aired November 8th, 16th, 2019, and was written by Peter A. Dowling. Last seen around these parts, writing Dino Hard.
Continuing to have extremely British-sounding writers.
Yes.
Also, I was really...
Or sounds like a priest detective.
On a BBC show, though.
Well, that was like a network show, though. The Father Dowling Mysteries. It starred the dad from Happy Days.
Oh, that's who it was. I mostly just remember the title.
I was hoping that this was going to be about, like, a spaceship like the Millennium Falcon that just is, like, constantly breaking down and having to be defended valiantly by its pilot.
Alas, no. It is literally about space garbage.
This is one of those episodes that just makes me mad, like... Because
yes.
I agree with it, and it's upsetting.
Yeah, so is every...
It's kind of a preachy episode, but I was 100% behind it.
Oh. So we're, we're cleaning up the base. For some reason, we've got a lot of, like, food waste here.
Yeah,
maybe that's part of their research.
Maybe, just, I don't know.
We just ship the stuff in from the town dump to keep it away from the bears.
I mean, fair. Bears are dangerous and you want to keep them away from the dump, but I'm going to chalk it up to human culture research.
Or maybe a raccoon broke in.
But why would, like, did the raccoon bring it?
Yes. Raccoon.
Okay. All right. Fair.
So, you know, they... But before they can finish tidying up here, they've got a space mission. And so Hotshot decides, okay, so... forget sorting this thing up for recycling. Space mission. So this all goes in the garbage.
Yeah.
And then everyone else does it too, except for Wedge.
Yes.
You should never... Whatever Hotshot is doing, it's the wrong thing, and you should never imitate him.
That's true.
Yeah.
No one should ever do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He is the goofus of the goofus and gallant here.
Yes.
Yes?
So we're on the signal. We're heading to this this satellite that's kind of busted.
So and is this an assignment that, like, Agent Fowler lined up for them?
This is possible.
Because it
Maybe?
Is... I mean, it's... You know, they explain that it's, like, a satellite that... helps transmit medical data between facilities. I was like, so it's a human satellite. So why have they been called in to fix it? I'm like, Agent Fowler. Agent Fowler is just always keeping tabs on these things. If there's something that can be fixed by some top secret alien robot buddies who just want to help out, he'll give them a call.
Yep.
Yeah, because last time this happened, like, it was a satellite that had Cybertronian tech in it or something. But this is entirely
We're crossing that line off the budget because they're doing it for free.
No.
Yeah, they're doing it as a training exercise. This
That's
is
right.
going to be super helpful.
And then once again, as they're getting like their space stuff, he just dumps some recycling into the regular garbage and just ejects it into space.
Okay, again, one, why does the Sigma have all this recyclable junk on it to begin with?
I am again going to say Earth culture research. You are welcome to again say raccoons.
or possibly Cade was in here.
Yeah. I mean, we know that he was, like, leaving crap in Heatwave's floorboards, yeah. So, yeah, I can see that.
He just had, like, a kegger in there or something.
One is weird that there's a lot of it, too, that they have to clean it up after they're in the air, and it's not a normal thing they have to do all the time anyway, for the kiddos, and that there's just a porthole, you can just chuck it out. It's like, why do you even have that garbage disposal hole?
And then everybody else is doing it too. Wedge is, like, horrified.
Mm-hmm.
And then, naturally, this caused him to get to the bridge late, but the Hotshots are like, oh, well, he just did twice as much work.
Yes.
Wedge is playing the part of Gallant in this situation?
Yes. Hotshot, as always, is the goofus.
Again, it's weird that like, Medix just goes along with this.
Yes. But
he says it's logical.
Mm-hmm.
I care.
I just wanted to be popular.
Yeah.
So this satellite has been damaged by space junk. And speaking of junk, take a look at the Earth, and look at this giant island made of trash.
Yes, the island of junk.
I mean, they do point out that there's also a lot of space junk flying around, and that's how the satellite got damaged. Mm-hmm. To which I say, fucking Starlink, man.
And to which I was saying, and has anybody seen the movie Gravity?
No? So for reasons relatable to our friend Wedge here, I have intentionally avoided that movie.
Yeah, I have similar inclinations to Wedge, and it was a tough watch, but it is a great movie.
Yeah, I will just say that the part of Cloverfield where they go up into the falling over skyscraper, I, like, have to avert my eyes, so I was definitely not going to go see Gravity.
Oh, so that explains why you also averted your eyes in that, half-hour sequence in Dark of the Moon where they're in that falling over skyscraper.
Yeah, that was also not great, honestly.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I think you were averting your eyes for the rest of that movie, too.
Yeah, I was, like, napping under the chair for... I mean, it could be worse. It could be Age of Extinction.
And in fact, I think that the background music here is deliberately aping the Gravity soundtrack.
Not a surprise. Not a surprise.
And I will note that there is an actual, like, Pacific garbage patch, but it's not just like a big island of garbage.
Yeah, it's not, like, identifiable by... If you were in orbit, it wouldn't look like just an island. It probably would be noticeable, but...
In fact, if you were in it, you basically wouldn't notice it.
Yeah.
Because it's mostly like tiny, tiny little pieces of garbage.
I gotta say that if I was an alien robot and I got to this planet with this fairly advanced, you know, not as advanced as us alien robots, but fairly advanced civilization, and they've been just being so badly behaved, their culture is just such trash that there's an entire big pile of garbage just in one of their oceans because they couldn't be bothered to pick it up. I would tell that culture to go fuck itself.
I mean, listen, we got some problems, but also, being from Cybertron, they can't throw a lot of stones.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
They have their own problems, but on Cybertron...
kind of completely destroy their planet, so... with war...
They don't have an island of junk. They don't have, like, that much debris floating around their planet, unless it's a god's head or something. They put their junk on entire another planet.
Exactly.
Called the planet of junk.
And they just got a bunch of Monty Python guys rolling around that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, one of the junkions should turn into a giant foot.
I guess they did completely make their planet uninhabitable. And this is specifically aligned universe where they did absolutely make their planet uninhabitable. Yes. I mean, by this point, by Rescue Bots Academy, it would be inhabitable again. Yes. But that did require magic.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, actually aligned
that did not
might
require
be...
hard work at all. It didn't require any work except Optimus Prime sacrificing himself. It was literally just magic.
And he didn't even sacrifice himself for that long.
No.
Well, no, not really. The aligned continuity might be the one where they most fucked up Cybertron, because it's entirely unlivable.
Yes.
Unless you're a bug.
You know what, I'm pretty sure is aligned continuity? Micronauts.
Stay tuned, listeners.
Yeah, we can talk about that in a few weeks.
Yep.
Dark Energon.
So Wedge is staying in the ship because, much like Jen, he is not interested in playing George Clooney out here.
Yeah, he looks down at the Earth and he's like, nope.
He's definitely more of a Sandra Bullock.
So you wouldn't be in a movie about a grizzly bear?
I mean, I might.
What if the grizzly bear was also in outer space?
Hmm.
Ooh, space grizzly.
But then that's high up, and that's not great.
Wait, have we ever actually had a movie that's like just Jaws in space? Or is that just Aliens?
I mean, that's kind of Alien.
I mean, Alien.
The
first one, not the second one so much.
And I'll also note a few years ago that Brad Pitt sci-fi movie Ad Astra has a space baboon attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like an alien baboon. There's in a spaceship that had a baboon that got loose in it.
Oh.
Cool.
Well, that's just a Planet of the Apes prequel, then.
Ah. Incorrect. A baboon is a monkey.
Well, no, the apes aren't in space.
Close.
It's a monkeys of the space. Space of the monkeys.
Captain Simian and the Space of the Monkeys?
Oh, man. I need to see if that's, like, preserved anywhere.
It should be. Yeah, we still haven't done Captain Simian. We will.
It's shocking that we haven't.
Someone uploaded VHS rips of all of Mighty Max to archive.org. Ooh. So,
we haven't done that either.
Anything is possible.
We did an episode of Mighty Max.
Halloween.
We did.
Yeah, we did the evil clown. Or no, we did the big spider episode.
Oh.
Yeah. For a Halloween episode, like, years ago.
It had Rene Aubergenois in it.
Oh,
of course it did.
Anyways.
Also in GoBots.
Yes.
Anyway, it's time to open the pod bay doors, Rob.
Yep. Oh, look at it. Eject garbage, everyone die. Had it underlined and everything. Because, indeed, just as Whirl's telling Hotshot that she feels kind of bad about that garbage, they are possessed by a gigantic space junk.
An asteroid
Yay!
Of junk.
Good job.
Which that
is an asteroid of it's a junk asteroid of savings at Menards.
it's good for the story of the episode, but that's not really how the shit in the Kessler effect works in space with all the cascading junk.
That is literally what happens in gravity.
Maybe there was a strong magnet in here and it pulled all the stuff together.
I got all that, like, food waste they ejected is, like, sticking everything together.
Yeah. It's goopy. It's real goopy. Because they weren't eating it.
Whereas I assume astronauts are mostly not ejecting organic stuff?
No.
Anyway, this giant ball of junk is headed towards the satellite, so they need to alter its course. And so, somehow, that falls to Wedge, who has himself ejected from the Sigma.
They do consider abandoning the asteroid, but as I said, Boulder explains that it is too important and they really have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got to fix the satellite, so Wedge has to robot punch himself out of the ship towards the asteroid of junk.
Smack into it.
Yes, and then he's stuck in it now. And now it's headed towards the Earth, so unfortunately it looks like Hoist is, he doesn't want to close his eyes.
Don't want to fall asleep.
he is about to be the Bruce Willis of this Armageddon.
Oh.
No!
He's the one that dies. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
I have it on VHS. Spoilers,
Bruce Willis dies at the end.
I also haven't seen it in forever.
It looks like it's going to be Ben Affleck, but Bruce Willis is all, damn it, this guy loves my daughter. He's got to live. I mean, he could also be the Robert Duvall of Deep Rising, but nobody saw Deep Rising.
Street people. No. I don't know.
All people remember is that Morgan Freeman's the president, and that's it.
Yes. Ah.
Can you tell me who the female lead in is? Nobody.
No.
It's Taya Leone.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh. And then I think Elijah Wood is like the kid who discovered the asteroid.
Oh,
this is Deep Impact. I think you said Deep Rising, which is a different movie.
Oh, not Deep Rising. Oh, yeah, no.
No, Deep Rising is a much better movie and real dumb.
Deep Rising is a much better movie.
Which I also was like, huh, that's neat that Morgan Freeman was the president in both those movies.
I mean, it would be fantastic if somehow the president was involved in Deep Rising.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, I have been informed that the giant squids do not eat you, rather they drink you.
That is one of the most annoying movies that has a sequel hook, because I really wanted the sequel.
But yes, I am pretty well aware of Deep Impact, because it was some of the big like evacuation scenes were filmed in the area I was living at the time. So.
Yeah, it's one of those sort of like disaster movies that follows like a bunch of unconnected people.
Unlike a Michael Bay movie, where if it was a Michael Bay movie, then the part of I-66 would be played by some highway outside of Chicago.
Yep.
And I guess it wasn't I-66 they did that with in Revenge of the Fallen, I think it was. It was some other DC highway. It was like the Beltway. It's like, that's not the Beltway. There's an exit for like, I forget, Gary or something.
Listen, like, Michael Bay, as he reads the script, he says, I was told there would be no geography.
But yeah, one of my acquaintances from high school was actually one of the cars that's just like stuck on the highway because like I said, they did extras.
And then they totally get wiped out by the asteroid.
Yes. And then they do not actually prevent the asteroid from hitting. But they do. Basically, the place that the survivors managed to make it to is, like, right where I live now.
Eventually, the waters receded. And something, something. I'm Morgan Freeman, making this movie much more classy than it actually is.
Definitely more classy than Armageddon, though.
Well, that's true. But listen, if I'm about to watch a giant piece of rock hit the earth, I'm not looking for classy. I'm looking for wailing guitars. I'm looking for like Steve Buscemi comic relief, and I'm looking for a really crummy Aerosmith ballad.
Yes. Oh, Jen, what's the dumb one where the moons are going to hit in the earth?
Moonfall.
Moonfall.
Yes. Does that have a rocking soundtrack?
Not as much, but it is amazing, and I strongly recommend enduring it.
I mean, unfortunately, that was sort of past the, like, we no longer get the movies no longer have love themes.
And that was also at a point where, during COVID, where you couldn't have enough extras to fill a highway full of evacuees. So it really kind of made it feel a little, like, lean and smaller than a Roland Emmerich disaster movie really should feel. Mm. But on the other hand, you get points where I was sitting there going, oh, yeah, it's the motherfucking moon! Because it's coming! It's coming!
And it also
just
coming
really
to Earth.
Really threatening zoomed-in moonrises.
Also coming to Earth, this giant ball of junk with Hoist embedded in it.
Yes.
So luckily Hotshot, he can fly in space, and he did not choose the boat this day.
Good job. It does seem, especially between this episode and the next episode, it does seem like he's gotten a little better at not immediately choosing a mode the moment the thought strikes him in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait. Is it Hoist or Wedge that gets stuck in the asteroid?
It's Wedge.
Wedge. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh. Okay. Because I had to know. It's like something about a wedge in space for angular momentum. It's like, okay, I did have a proper pun.
Get out of there, Wedge. You can't do any good back there. So they are able to catch up with this junk ball and get Wedge out of there before it burns up into the atmosphere. So they get back to Earth, and they start recycling.
Wedge is terrified, and Hoist just laughs at him.
Yes.
It's not okay. It's not nice, Hoist. But yes, they get home, and they have learned their lesson about the importance of recycling.
Also, pretty solid intercom joke here, where Medics is all, "Don't panic, Wedge. Everything will be fine."
Oh, yes.
Turns it off. "Everything won't be fine. I've calculated the junk ball's new trajectory, and it's going to fall into the atmosphere."
I can still hear you.
It's a very, very Ted Stryker airplane kind of gag.
Yeah. Yes, it's very cute. It's,
like, damn it, there's no chance.
It's pretty good.
He's got no chance to land that thing.
Oh, and at some point near the end, like, Hotshot says his middle name is Speed.
Yes.
It's like Hot Speed Shot.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work.
No. Sadly, no one lampshades.
Hot Speed or Speed Shot almost work, but Hot Speed Shot. No.
Sadly, no one lampshades it by actually saying that.
Well, now we're going from
Grant. He just poses dramatically and goes down the elevator, and everybody's like, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Well, now we're going from gravity to the abyss, because we're going into the depths.
Blurp, blurp, blurp. Time for water and being underwater and lots of questions about how communication is working underwater.
Lots of trouble. Ooh, ah. Lots of
lots
bubbles.
Of bubbles. Ooh, ah. Wow, was that a music reference that David got?
Wow.
Yeah, that's the B-52s?
Yes.
Yes. As you can tell from my terrible Fred Schneider impression.
Yeah, that's kind of what gave it away.
There went a narwhal.
Woo, woo.
So this is episode number 48, first aired November 16th, 2019, written by Finn Boland?
How's
it's
it spelled?
It's Fionn.
Yeah, that's Finn.
Was that Scottish?
Irish.
Irish, yeah.
Irish, what same thing? I'm American. I confuse those two way too easily. Which would probably piss off any Irish or Scottish person I ever meet. Yeah, it's basically the same.
And this is, in fact, his first ever Rescue Bots Academy episode.
Oh. Well, welcome to him. Or yeah,
welcome to the party, pal.
Her, but I'm assuming him.
I think him?
I think that's a male name?
I think so.
Oh, now we're looking at
him. I also worked as a production assistant on My Little Pony, New Generation.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not sure which one that is.
Is that the one that recent, was right after? Yeah, if it was recent, it'd be right after Friendship is Magic.
It looks like it's computer... Oh, it looks like it was a movie. It's computer animated.
Okay.
And it's got, like, Vanessa Hudgens and James Marsden in it.
Okay. So definitely the new one and not the, like, New Adventures one that... was, like, Brad Swaley's first job.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Although I'm not up on my ponies.
At
some point, we may have to venture into that territory.
I was definitely watching it for a little while. I mean, also original ponies. We could watch the original My Little Pony, the movie. Or did you mean specifically going into Friendship is Magic?
No, I was mostly thinking of the OG My Little Pony.
Okay, so we could do My Little Pony the movie, which I did in fact see in the theater.
Ooh. Is that the one with the Satan Centaur?
No, that's Escape from Midnight Castle, which was like a TV episode.
Yeah, that's like one of the multi-parters.
That was
one of
no, the movie is the one with
I saw that one.
The movie is the one with the Smooze.
Yes.
Imagine if the Blob also was constantly singing doo-wop.
So maybe I saw it, but I don't remember it as much as Centaur Satan.
I saw it in the theater.
And they're like witches.
And one of the trailers before it was the first time I saw the trailer for Transformers the movie.
Ooh. So you were one of the first people to be asked, what is the secret of the Monster Planet Unicron?
Yes.
And will Optimus Prime die?
yes. And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Now, from what I could recall, the Escape from Midnight Castle is kind of legitimately frightening in spots.
Yeah, rewatching the original My Little Pony cartoon is one of those things that's, like, on my list of things that I should, like, pull up a couple episodes of while I'm on break at work and work my way through it, because you know, I remember it being pretty perilous. Like, it wasn't just charming friendship happy times. It was, like, actually threats happening. Oh. So, it might be worth revisiting.
All right, so we open. We are at the base. We're going through an obstacle course here, and the deal is two rescue bots have to guide a third blindfolded person through an obstacle course.
Mm-hmm. Hotshot.
Well, verbally guide.
Hotshot's team is called Team Unbeatable Hotshots.
Yes, so that is Wedge and Medics trying to guide a blindfolded Hotshot, whereas Hoist and Whirl are trying to guide a blindfolded Tough Luck Chuck. And you may be surprised, or possibly not surprised, as to who is winning.
I feel like having Tough Luck Chuck be your blindfolded one is kind of cheating, because he is absolutely better at following directions than Hotshot is. Like,
yes,
polar opposites.
That's the key point.
I mean, it also kind of feels like losing Employee of the Month to an inanimate carbon rod.
That too.
Kind of?
I mean, I realize that the actual, like, it's the recruits guiding him who are the real heroes there, but also, like, Hotshot is not known for following directions at the best of times.
Yeah. Well, Medics' specific degrees to turn instructions aren't entirely helpful, but
no.
Hotshot is helping.
I guess if you put Medics on the team with Chuck, Tough Luck Chuck, then that would be absolutely broken.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be a speed run.
Turn the middle part top-wise. Top-wise.
Yes.
Anyway, so naturally, Team Rescue Prime. And also, they're kind of wearing those helmets like in Star Wars when Luke's fighting the drone.
Yes.
Hmm. Anyways. So Team Rescue Prime takes the win here. Before they can gloat too much about it, there's a rescue to be done. There is an unmanned submarine drone at the bottom of the ocean.
Once again,
and it's out of batteries.
Very conveniently, they suddenly have a mission assigned that ties into whatever training they were just doing.
Yes. And also, very conveniently, there's no person to see them in this one.
Yes.
It's going much better than when they tried to rescue that submarine that was trying to see the Titanic. They couldn't put that one on TV. It didn't end so well.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't think there was any rescuing them.
Speaking of James Cameron.
Yeah, speaking of James Cameron. I mean, I would say by the time they knew anything was wrong, it was too late. But from everything I've read, most people knew that there were things very wrong, like, a year before it even went.
Yes.
So.
Like, when you've got a submarine that's going to see the Titanic, and James Cameron says nope, listen to James Cameron.
Hmm.
He's like, absolutely not. When you're going to the Titanic in a submarine from a company that's, like, fired their safety guy, then maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because they're so deep, they will have no contact with the surface world.
They gotta trust. They're gonna be going blind. They gotta do this all by themselves.
So we are indeed in the abyss here.
Ooh. Also, the submarine has priceless environmental data, so it needs to be brought back online. It's important.
Mm-hmm. So they go out on this floating platform, but luckily Hotshot has chosen to be boat today. So he's able to tug the to drag them out.
Again, it does seem like he's actually learned his lesson about choosing an alt mode the moment a whim strikes him early in the day, and yes, actually holding off until he needs to turn into something.
Hmm.
So that's growth.
Yeah.
So they begin their descent. They're just apparently totally fine at any depth of the ocean here. There's no crush depth for these guys.
I guess. I was wondering about that. Also, they have been given a battery pack that never needs replacing, and I have a lot of questions.
I have many questions. Maybe it's one of those ones that's like powered by seawater, question mark?
Yeah. I mean, that would be fair.
No, because they brought it up because, like, Bulkhead and Hoist designed it after that rogue cleaning robot and its power source. Which seems like this power source would be even worse. You had to feed him batteries.
Yes.
Is it just running on nuclear fission or something?
Minovsky particles, hand wavy, who knows?
Cybertronium. I'm going to say yes. Cybertronium. Could say dark energon. No, it's
so speaking
not
of the dark, they pretty soon find that they are. It is too dark to see anything, and
they're just under the sea,
diving through black liquid funeral here.
Yeah, which when they get down to the bottom and how they visualize the darkness isn't quite dark enough, but it's got to be seeable for the little kiddos. I just wish it was like 20% darker, like add a shadow layer on top of everything.
They start with their headlights on and then all the little sea critters.
No, it's not even headlights. It's their Autobot symbol rescue thingies in their chest.
Mm-hmm.
Their little badges light up. Because
my first thought was, oh, just use your headlights hoist and somebody else has got to have headlights on their chest.
Mm.
But no, they just use
It's
their-
Transformers. Someone has to have headlights on their chest.
Yes.
But no, they use their badge lights, but the deep sea creatures come up to say hello.
Yeah, it attracts the abyssal life forms.
Yeah, we get a bunch of jellyfish.
Medics gives a couple of them names.
All right, jellyfish that are bigger than you would think. Coelacanth looking thing?
There's a glowing pink coelacanth.
Kind of looks like a dunkleosteus.
Oh, yeah, little dunkies.
Yeah.
Which, have you heard, I think it was like last year, more information about the Dunkleosteus?
Oh, they didn't really have like those big bony faces, right?
Yeah, they have the big bony face, and then the rest of the bones were a little jumbled. But more recent ones they found are that, like, Dunky would have been shorter than we would have thought, but the head still is big.
Oh.
So it's like half the leg, he's a chubby little thing, it's just all head.
I was always surprised they were big. When I saw them in books as a kid, I assumed it was the size of like a trout.
Yeah, it's like little thing, smaller than you. No, those fuckers are huge.
Right.
Yeah, I want to say maybe I'm misremembering, but I want to say the Smithsonian Natural History Museum has a fossil up on the wall.
Mm.
Yeah,
if it's what I'm thinking of.
They're like,
but yeah, they're big.
The head is like 3 feet tall or something. All armor, but now we know they're chubby little boys.
Little stocky bodies.
Yeah. Like little goldfish covered in armor.
Aww. Anyway, medics names these Constance and Cyril. One of them bites him. Classic Cyril.
I love him. I love him and his need to name things. Just give them normal people names.
Yeah.
Mm.
Normal human names.
So Maddox is using like his magnets to sort of locate the sub, and again his instructions are terrible to follow.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's just using extremely technical terminology that is not helpful to the rest of the team, who are just sort of wandering around being doofuses.
And so finally they do find this thing, and it's extremely Aqua Zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
If anybody remembers Aqua Zone.
I guess. So
it was designed by people in Denmark, I guess. Let's say Danish sub.
Yeah, those like late 90s Lego. They were like cool submarines.
Yeah, it's orange and very blocky in a weird way with a bubble top.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a drone.
Yeah. Well, that's where the computery bits are, or whatever cameras.
Yeah, so unfortunately.
Yeah, that could be where the cameras are.
Unfortunately, it is in a bunch of these deep sea vents, so they have to hoist it out with Hoist's tow line. So we pop in this new battery. It lights back up, and then it attracts a gigantic deep sea fish. It's
well, the old battery, they notice, has this spike sticking out of it. I wonder where that came from, says Whirl.
And it's purportedly, I guess, like a giant anglerfish. It really looks like a Sharktacon.
Yeah.
It does kind of look like a Sharktacon, but I was definitely thinking anglerfish.
Mm-hmm. Of course, those real deep sea fish are like teensy.
Kind of, yeah, they're about fist sized.
Most of them, yeah, because there's not a lot of food down there.
Right.
So they can't get too big. I mean, the biggest thing you're going to be able to eat is whale carcass, and that's only at the very bottom.
And only once in a while when you get lucky.
Yes. Whale carcass.
So the world does manage to distract this this sea monster long enough that Hoist can turn the sub off. They get back to the platform. And once again, they have to follow Medic's direction, but this time they mostly work.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, we weren't eaten by a giant fish. We're all safe, and it's all because we could trust Medic's and his terrible directions.
Yay! The day is saved.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, a couple of fun episodes here. I like that we had different environments for these.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had sort of a theme this week.
Mm-hmm.
Of extremes.
Yeah, the first one was definitely really on the preachy side, but also, come on, humanity. Get your shit together.
Yeah, space debris is one of those things.
We deserve it. We deserved that.
Kinda. Very, very messy, unclean.
No. And so that'll do us for this week. We, of course, we'll be back next week with more exciting Rescue Bots action. But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Mastodon. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where David and I have been doing a twice-monthly news podcast as well. You can find us at iaconunderground.net, and our Patreon to help with hosting and other expenses is patreon.com/iaconunderground. I am going to need to be plugging that more because our hosting's going up another couple dollars because everything is, the economy is on fire. I'm going to need to be posting about that. But fortunately, I mean, we always have great special episodes, but we have a couple great ones right now. The August special episode, we may never forgive Rob for. We watched an especially appalling I say that, but I don't have anything to compare it to. Like, that could be an entirely normal episode of the 90s Fantastic Four cartoon.
No.
But it was real bad. I mean, I assume that not all of them have Thing trying to break into hip-hop.
No, one has an R&B number from Johnny Storm.
Yeah, so it was, we watched The Super Skrull by Ron Friedman, writer of Transformers the Movie.
That's right.
And yeah, it was terrible.
It's weird, like, it wasn't the worst thing we've ever watched, but it kind of feels like it. It just...
It was pretty bad. It was definitely... It was... And like, the 90s... That was the 90s.
Yeah, it's 90s. It's worse than I remember is the main takeaway. It's like, because I remember watching it at the time.
It should have been better.
Some of the time. It's weird.
Yeah. I opted to go biking around the neighborhood looking for Transformers at yard sales instead.
Hmm.
But yeah.
But the good news is that next month we'll be watching a good Marvel thing.
Yes, a much better Marvel thing because Thunderbolts is finally on streaming.
David, Jen and I both saw it. It's actually extremely good.
I hope so.
Have you not seen it yet, David?
No, because I saw the trailers for it and I did not like them.
What?
Well, it's very good.
It was... Like, there have been I mean, I don't watch a lot of movies at the theater, but now that I live down the street from an actually good little theater, I've been seeing things a little more this year. My previous apartment was down the street from an absolutely terrible theater. But now that I'm near a good one, there have been two movies this year that I've come out of that theater just sort of wanting to, like, walk around downtown and wonder at the world and just, like, cue up some real good music on my phone and just be like, yeah, life is pretty great.
Was the other one Superman?
The other one was Superman.
Of course. Fucking love Superman.
I gotta admit, they probably, between the two of them, that did probably spoil me for Fantastic Four First Steps.
Yeah.
But I did really enjoy Thunderbolts, and I'm looking forward to watching it again and talking about it. So
I'm still reluctant.
You're still not sold. Well, we will see it, if we can sell you on it.
Is David Harbour and a bunch of okay actors?
I mean,
we will see if the power of Starship compels you.
It's true.
Jefferson Starship or just Starship?
Just Starship. Oh. But, well,
just Starship.
Starship is the outgrowth of Jefferson Starship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
which one was better?
But it was at the Starship stage of their evolution.
Jefferson Starship did not, at least at some points, have Grace Slick, which is something.
Yeah.
And also, they were on the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah. That's
Starship, God. Not in the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Okay, there is that point. I thought they'd convert to Starship.
So yes,
they were in the movie Manic.
Go ahead. I was just going to wrap up, but I got more to say.
Oh, they were in the movie Mannequin.
Man, there's a movie I have not seen. Another movie I have not seen in a long time.
Hollywood.
I forget if we had started, I think it was before we started recording that I mentioned that I've been thinking I should really rewatch Harry and the Hendersons because I used to watch it a bit and I haven't seen it in a long time.
Did you ever see the TV series?
I need to find it on VHS. Maybe?
It was okay.
Maybe. I think it was on USA or something. Like right when we got cable.
Yeah, I think it was like only 13 episodes or something. It was real short.
Oh,
no, no Lithgow, no sale.
No.
So that is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground. You can get access to all of our monthly specials, and they're always something super fun.
All right. So until next time, when we get ever closer to the season finale, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Then we're gonna watch the Micronauts.